Well, good morning. If you have a copy of God's Word with you this morning, we're going to be in Proverbs chapter number 31. Proverbs chapter number 31. If you are using a phone, an iPad, and you have your Bible app on there, just navigate to Proverbs chapter 31. If you're new to church and you're like, hey, you're saying Proverbs, I don't know where to go, start at the beginning, Genesis, Exodus, keep going. You're going to hit Samuel, you're going to hit the Kings, Chronicles, keep going. Eventually, you're going to hit Proverbs. It's pretty much right smack dab in the middle of the Bible. It's going to be a helpful passage, hopefully, for us this morning. Pastor Paul and his family are not here with us this morning. They were able to get some time away together as a family, getting some rest together. And we're super thankful that they were able to get some time away. But it's allowed me the awesome privilege and honor of being able to speak this morning for Mother's Day. Since it was a one-off anyway, I thought, let's do a message that I think hopefully will be helpful and encouraging to our mothers, but also to our families as a whole. As we walk through our text, I really want us to focus on this question: what makes mom great? When we think of great mothers, what are the attributes, what are the characteristics that define them or set them apart as great? If we think about our moms, they do quite a lot, right? They feed us and nourish us as we start off as babies, and as we get older, they do a lot of things for us. They make sure that we actually took the shower like we said we did as young 12-year-olds, and they make sure that we don't forget to put our laundry in the hamper. They provide meals and support as we grow up. They provide a pivotal role in the nurturing and training of children within the home. They help support the spiritual leadership of the father, and they further stoke spiritual fervor in the hearts of their children. Moms are a crucial piece of our homes. They make homes successful. We've spoken at length on Sunday nights going through our series 21st Century on what it means to have a great marriage. What is the role of the husband? What is the role of the wife? And last week we dove into what does it mean to be great parents. Mothers take all of that and they apply it to themselves if they are truly trying to be great and wise. Both fathers and mothers are essential within the home, but today we are going to take some time and specifically thank our mothers for all that they do and build them up in encouragement. As we approach our text this morning, we're going to see a message from a mom to her son. If you begin at the starting point of Proverbs chapter number 31, you're going to see this. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. So right from the beginning, we see this is specific instructions from a mother to her son. Practical wisdom on how to live his life and ultimately who the virtuous woman is. The type of woman that he should pursue. If we read through this passage, sometimes I feel like it can read a little bit flat. We read the details of what she's describing. We go, okay, I understand what she's saying. We flip on to the next portion of scripture that we're going to read, and we don't give much thought to it. Consider, though, for a minute the source of this chapter. According to Hebrew ancient scholars, Proverbs was authored by Solomon. There is no specific King Lemuel that they were aware of during that time. And while maybe perhaps there was an ancient king named Lemuel that got this wisdom from his mother and it made it into this book of Proverbs as a later edition, perhaps the author is indeed Solomon, which would mean that the mother giving him this instruction is Bathsheba, a woman who had been taken advantage of, had her husband murdered, and then was taken from her good, healthy marriage with Uriah to be added to the harem of King David. Throughout our study of 1 and 2 Samuel, we saw firsthand how David's disobedience to God, breaking the laws that God gave him about how he should act and the way he should conduct himself as king, actively destroyed his family, bringing in multiple wives and the conflict that that brought. Having this framework, perhaps the message of this chapter of Proverbs rings a little bit differently, if it indeed is Solomon as the author and Bathsheba as his mom. Here is a mother who perhaps has been through some really difficult, incredibly hard situations, writing to her son saying, son, this is who you should pursue. If you are a daughter, this is the type of woman that I should desire to be. We see her heart put on full display for her son. This morning, I want us to be challenged and encouraged from Scripture. Mothers, I hope this passage is a little bit challenging. I hope some of what we talk about stirs you to further grow in specific areas as a mother. But I also hope it's helpful and it's encouraging. I want you to leave here not feeling like I'm the worst mother of all time, quite the opposite. I want you to walk away with feeling like there is a great path forward for me to be a great mom. Fathers and children in the room, I hope this passage of Scripture prompts a deeper level of gratitude for your wife and for the mother of your children and for young people, for your mother, for everything that she has done for you. I hope that gratitude shines forth. Young men, you're reading this chapter, you're like, he's talking about the virtuous woman. How does this apply to me in any sense of the word? Well, consider why she's writing it to her son. She wants him to understand the type of woman that he should pursue. Who should he value? Who should he take to be his wife? A virtuous woman. For our young ladies, this passage is insightful into the qualities and values that you should aim to develop in your own life that can allow you to be a truly great wife and mom. I started with a question at the beginning, and I put it on the screen that I want us to consider as we go through. What makes a mother great? We all know that mothers are important. They do so many things for us. They help the home go forward. But what makes them truly great? What are the characteristics that serve as the benchmark for motherly success? What are the attributes or behaviors from a mother that produce praise and gratitude from her husband and her children? If you take a minute and look at what the world has to say, the world has tons of opinions on what it means to be a great mom. I spent about 5 minutes looking up different statistics, and I stopped after I read the first one because it was truly mind-blowing and led to kind of a little bit of a rabbit hole later. You spend about 5 minutes on social media, one thing becomes rapidly evident. Everyone has opinion. And everyone's opinion is the right opinion, and they want you to adopt that same opinion. TikTok has become the hotbed for motherhood content with the hashtag Moms of TikTok. Anyone spent any time on Moms of TikTok? Can't speak to all of the content on there. I didn't watch it. Why? Because that specific hashtag has over 44 billion views in the content. The amount of content that is within this one hashtag telling moms how to be great is mind-blowing. Everyone has an opinion. Everyone has a different standard of what makes a mom great. As followers of Christ, our response should be, when we tackle a question like this, what makes a mom great? What does God have to say on the matter? What does Scripture give us truth about when it comes to being a great mom? How can I make sure that as a mother, I read verse number 29. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. How can I make sure that verse is true of me? Our passage gives many answers to this question. A lot of helpful thoughts. It's one of many passages of Scripture. But the main thought that I want us to see this morning as we walk away from their passage is this. The greatest mothers are those who pursue the Lord and live according to his wisdom. The greatest mothers are those who pursue the Lord and live according to his wisdom. Let's go ahead and pick up in chapter 31, verse number 25. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So as we open up this passage to give us insight and to be able to answer this question, I want us to start with this first concept here. What are the characteristics of a great mother? Let's seek to answer this question together. It's important to state, though, that we won't cover every single characteristic within Proverbs 31 this morning. And everyone says, amen, right? There are a lot of verses in Proverbs chapter number 31. Beginning in verse number 10, we see countless aspects of this virtuous Proverbs 31 woman as she has been described often. I'll admit, if you were to read through this entire list, starting in verse number 10, it's incredibly daunting. One author expressed it this way: the woman of virtue depicted in Proverbs may seem intimidating at first. She rises before dawn and works until well after sunset. Her efforts are focused on serving others. She is capable in the domestic arts of creating clothing and gourmet meals. But she is equally competent in commerce, demonstrates shrewdness in financial affairs, and even runs a small business. When we read through this chapter, there can be this natural temptation to only view the ways in which you don't stack up to what this woman is able to accomplish. Look at everything she can do. This woman is like mega mom. She can cook, she cleans, she's lifting the couch with one hand while also somehow sending money to buy certain stocks that are going to triple the household's investments, right? She seems to be a superhero being able to do everything. That's not the point, though, of this message, to make someone feel like they are a failure and can't measure up. One author expressed that fact this way: very few people possess all the qualities of the Proverbs 31 woman, but all Christians can strive to imitate her example. The chief quality of the woman of wisdom is that she serves others with a willing heart. If you walk through this passage over and over, you'll see the idea of a heart of service, desiring to help those around her at the center of everything that is described. All of this is because she is wise. She has found the source of wisdom that all God's people can acquire with the help of the Spirit. And that comes from taking His word and applying it directly to our lives. So let's dive into the passage that we will focus on, beginning in verse number 25, and look at a few of the characteristics that all great mothers should pursue. The first thing that I want us to see in verse number 25 is that she has a proper view of beauty. Verse number 25, the author begins by describing the appearance of the wise woman. Strength and honor are her clothing. She is clothed in both strength and honor. They are the two adorning garments that set her apart from those around her. Catch the importance of what is being taught here. Physical beauty is not the peak of beauty. There is something far greater. Here, the author is intentionally drawing us to the source of what the greatest beauty is. It is not what adorns the outside. It's not that super awesome dress that you got from that one really expensive store. It's not those really valuable rings and necklaces and bracelets. It's not even what you got at Sephora. That's a cosmetic place, right? Nailed it, right? It's not about all of what you can attach to the outside that is truly the source of greatest beauty. It is the underlying character giving beauty from within that is the greatest beauty a woman can wear. Secular culture seeks to emphasize the opposite, the physical beauty. You look at secular culture around us, and it is pumped all the time. The women's clothing industry is a massive global market, projected to reach a staggering total of $963 billion in revenue in 2025. They want you to focus in on the external beauty. The global cosmetics market is projected to grow from $354 billion in revenue in 2025 to $556 billion by 2032. Secular culture says, how attractive are you? How can you make other people think that you're beautiful and sexy and attractive? And that what is what makes you beautiful as a woman. Here, a mother is instructing her son, saying, don't focus on the outside. Focus on what truly is valuable, a sense of character that seeks to emulate God, that seeks to take his truth and apply it in their own life, developing great spiritual fruit. This outward adornment that the woman has in verse number 25 is in stark contrast with the garments that she makes in verse number 24. If you skip one verse up, she maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. We can assume that she is more than skilled enough to have the greatest, most ornate garments possible. And this is not to say that wearing nice, beautiful clothing is wrong. I love when my wife wears beautiful dresses, and I get to share that with her, and I get to tell her that she looks great. It is merely to emphasize, though, that it is not the highest standard of beauty. This world, with all of its focus on the outside, constantly tears women down. I'm not this. I can't wear that. I can't fit in. And you can stumble over this. I don't fit culture's definition of beauty, and therefore no one will find myself attractive. You can get bogged down into a self-loathing because of how you feel about yourself. This passage of scripture seeks to free us from that. It's not all about the external. It's about developing a heart of character. The point isn't that physical beauty is unimportant. A husband should find his wife attractive and vice versa. As a husband, we lead in our homes by promoting a healthy understanding of what attraction, beauty, and affection look like to our sons and daughters. We model what it means to value beauty to our kids as they grow older, and we must demonstrate and emphasize that physical beauty is not the point. The point is that physical beauty ought not be pursued at the expense of inward beauty of character. Mothers, your most beautiful attribute about yourself is godly character. If you are kind, if you are generous, if you are full of grace, if you seek to live a life of peace, if you seek to have a heart full of forgiveness, and you take the truth of Scripture and you live out a life lived in submission to the Spirit, and everyone looking at you goes, wow, look at the love, look at the kindness, look at the generosity, look at her great character, the honesty, the pursuit of holiness and purity, that is true beauty. Mothers, we must help instill this in our sons and daughters. This is the type of woman to pursue for your sons, and this is the type of woman to become as a daughter. But the second half of this verse gives us instruction, or maybe an explanation, to why this type or correct view of what beauty is, why it's so important. Why is this type of moral character and this inward beauty important? Because it relies on God, it glorifies him, and it gives us confidence for the future. Notice the second half there, verse number 25. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. No matter what life brings her way, no matter what difficulties arise, mom knows who she is in Christ. She knows where her sense of value is connected. She knows that her greatest attributes and beauty are born out of a yieldedness to the Spirit, producing this inward beauty. Why can she have this confidence for the future? What hope does she have? It is the fruit of a life that is found in God. She has hope for eternity because she is found in him. Her whole life is dedicated to loving and following after God. So no matter what happens, she can have great confidence. I am in him. So she has a proper view of beauty, but she also has speech that edifies, speech that edifies. Notice verse number 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Here we see in many ways maybe a physical manifestation of the inward beauty that he just described in verse number 25. As many of us immediately understand, words are powerful. Probably one of the greatest lies whispered around elementary school is sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's such a lie. Words hurt. Words can destroy. Have you ever been in a situation maybe with a friend and they said something and man, it was so unkind and it cut you deep in ways that you didn't even realize you could be wounded. Words have incredible power. The wise woman, the wise mother recognizes that fact and makes sure that she handles her speech, her words, in a way that is wise, in a way that seeks to build. We see two important characteristics about a wise mother's speech. It is both full of wisdom and full of kindness. Some commentators even go a step further, stating it shows the attributes of character described in verse number 25 are contained in her deliberate speech or her planned orations. This is the first part. She openeth her mouth. But it also is in her spontaneous speech, in her tongue, the casual conversations that happen throughout her day. Both are well equipped with wisdom and with kindness. She is not the person going around gossiping, tearing those around her down, belittling, making others feel worse about themselves. In fact, she pursues the exact opposite. How can I give spiritual wisdom? How can I give them tools that will equip them and I will build them up? I pursue a tongue of kindness. I make sure that they know they are loved and value, and my words are seasoned with grace. Her speech contains wisdom. There are two aspects here that are in view. You have both spiritual wisdom and practical wisdom. Both are vital aspects of what a mother can give to her children. Mothers have the ability to instruct their children in the practical, the spiritual wisdom of Scripture and also the practical wisdom of life. A brief skim at this passage demonstrates how much practical wisdom she has to offer. Remember, she's the gourmet cook that does real estate and invests and sews and has a small business. She's an entrepreneur, right? She has tons of practical wisdom. And that is a great, amazing gift that mothers can pass along. All of these small, little, valuable nuggets of practical wisdom, like how to actually wash our clothes, how to properly wash the dishes, how to make these incredible meals. My mother-in-law has this amazing recipe that she makes every time I come and visit. Sticky buns. And they are amazing. The greatest thing, she taught Maddie how to make sticky buns, so now I can have and enjoy the delicious breakfast cinnamon sticky buns all year long, right? There's great practical wisdom that mothers can pass on, and you should pursue passing those things on. Include your children in the daily aspects of your life. Teach them cooking. Teach them sewing. Teach them all of the valuable skills that you have developed in your own life. Young people, embrace it. Recognize the intense and immense wisdom that your mothers offer you. There comes this weird time in life when your brain stops working when you enter into junior high. And suddenly, you think you are the best. You have all the knowledge. You know the best way to do everything. Let me pop that bubble. You don't. You know very little. Your parents have years of experience. Tap into that. Embrace it. Ask questions. Allow them to give you insight. You are not the wealth of knowledge and wisdom you think you are, young person. Value your mother's wisdom. Greater, though, than practical wisdom is spiritual wisdom. While the father sets the spiritual tone of the household and leads in developing the spiritual heart of the children that God gave you both as a couple to steward, a mother is not without responsibility or even opportunity to give biblical wisdom. Mothers, invest spiritually in your young people. Share with them truth from his word. Proverbs 2:6 states, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." A wise mother points her children to scripture and incorporates its lessons and truths into her speech on a regular basis. She engages them on what they've been reading in Scripture and what she has been reading in Scripture, sharing with them little nuggets of truth that will help them spiritually because it has helped her spiritually. But let me say a word of caution here. I think sometimes we can be so focused on giving practical wisdom that we miss out on giving spiritual wisdom. Our kids leave our home, and we have the temptation of saying, yeah, but they're really great at, well, you know, she just knows all the stuff. She's got the straight A's. Look at what he was able to get as far as a scholarship to college. They are incredible young people, and they have zero heart to follow after God. That is a failure when it comes to being a parent as a Christian. I know that sounds harsh, but the reality is there is never a day where we can't make that change. It is never too late to say, you know what, I maybe haven't prioritized as much on the spiritual wisdom, truth side. I need to do better. Have that conversation with your young people. Make it a priority to engage them spiritually. Push them forward. And if at the end of the day they finish high school failing at every sport, doing terrible in whatever extracurriculars they did and being a C student, but they love God. They are passionate about his word. They serve others in the church, and they boldly proclaim their faith as a follower of Christ. Mom, you nailed it. You crushed it. You gave them the greatest gift of wisdom they could ever receive. But wisdom is not the only thing mentioned here about her speech. In her tongue is also the law of kindness. This can indicate maybe perhaps one of two things. Either A, it's communicating the idea of kindness is her law when it comes to her speech. Everything goes through the lens of, is it kind? It's perhaps something that all of us should seek to ask ourselves when we are about to speak. Another aspect that this could communicate is that while mother is kind, she also continues to give instruction. She continues to give precepts. She continues to give discipline. But there is a balance between her discipline, her law, and her kindness, both working in concert to help develop a healthy young individual. At first glance, these two words, when you just read them on the surface, seem to be in great conflict. I don't hear law and immediately go to kindness, right? When we hear the word law, especially in our secular culture, we think it's harsh, it's mean, it is strict. Our secular culture only thinks of kindness from their perspective. In our current culture, it blossoms forth as perhaps gentle parenting, or as I learned last week, the parenting style of Dr. Spock, right? I'd never heard that. And pastor's like, yeah, it was crazy, right? But this idea often skews kindness to being a lawless, ambivalent attitude that throws your hands up, let them be kids, they'll do it, whatever they want to do, that does not lead them to developing discipline. If you look at this chapter, there is something that is at the heart of everything she's doing. It is evident in every single aspect. This virtuous woman is disciplined. She knows what she is pursuing, and she has the ability to discipline herself to accomplish those goals. As a mother, your wisdom and your law of kindness is there to instruct your young person to develop within them this same sense of discipline. A mother's teachings, as evidenced by this chapter, are vital in training up a child. A wise mother makes sure that she is both intentional and biblical with her instruction. But the last characteristic that I want us to see is that she is also faithful in service. Notice verse number 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. This is perhaps one of the most underappreciated aspects of being a mom. It may be a way in which we as husbands, sons, daughters don't do a great job expressing our gratitude for of all the things that mom helps accomplish in our lives. It is the behavior that often leads to mothers being described as super moms, and it also leads to the house falling into a swirling storm of chaos when mom is gone for a couple days. And dad is just struggling to keep everything together. What is the underlying aspect here? Mothers serve those around her. She recognizes the great value that she has within the home and seeks to minister with kindness and wisdom towards those around them. As we mentioned earlier, the chief quality of the woman of wisdom is that she serves others with a willing heart. The wise woman is a skilled and diligent manager of the home. She helps coordinate the schedule of the house, making sure things continue to run smoothly. Within this context that this passage was written, it wasn't just husbands and kids in the home. You also had introduced into this home environment servants and other workers getting things accomplished. And here she is as the wise woman, making sure that everything is running smoothly, making sure that she is kind and gentle as she helps steer the direction of the house forward. The beginning phrase there in verse number 27, she looketh well, literally communicates the idea of her eyes are peering everywhere. She is diligently seeking and looking around. You cannot escape the gaze of mom. Maybe we could say it this way. It's like she has eyes in the back of her head. She knows what's going on in the home. Why is this aspect important? It helps train and develop her children. When she knows what is going on, she is easily a part of it, and she incorporates them into the diligent workings of the home. This is not a verse saying moms do it all within the house. In fact, it's the exact opposite. It's saying moms diligently include and develop those within your household to accomplish the household tasks. Young people, do your chores, right? Listen to the guidance of your mom. Don't make her ask you twice. As a young person, the worst thing, the thing that I hated most was my nagging mom. And you want to know why she was a nagging mom? Because of my actions. It wasn't truly some horrible action of my mom. She wanted me to empty the dishwasher. It was my actions of refusing to empty the dishwasher that made it appear to be, get off my back. If only I had listened and diligently served alongside my mom. It teaches your young people the importance of looking out for the needs of others. It helps them to recognize that life isn't all about me. What can I accomplish? What can make me feel good? And it says, what are the needs of those around me, and how can I diligently seek to help meet those needs? Fathers, you should be engaged in the effort, schedule, and needs of the home. We must lead in these endeavors. However, the wise woman takes pride and joy from being involved in her home. She doesn't look at it as a burden, but as an opportunity to minister to those she loves. The second half of this verse states that she does not eat the bread of idleness. The wise woman is one of action. She does not sit on her hands, but rather is proactive in engaging those within her household and in service to them. Again, there is another aspect of teaching here. She is modeling a heart of service for her children. She is demonstrating the discipline and work ethic that they should develop in their own lives as they move forward into adulthood so that they can continue acting appropriately as well. Proverbs 6 is a famous chapter on the sluggard. The wise woman has learned well the lesson of the ant from Proverbs 6. Her diligence is evident to all who come in contact with her. She loves others and she serves them kindly because she values them. So we've covered these characteristics that make moms great. But what are the sources, or what is the source of these characteristics? Why does a mother pursue these characteristics? How are these characteristics developed in her? How does she excel, like in verse number 29 that we mentioned? Verse 30 gives us the answer. So we're going to skip a couple verses. Let's drop down to verse number 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Why does the mother pursue these characteristics? It's not because she lives for the favor of others. Favor can be deceitful and empty. It can be like, hey, you're my favorite person, and then you turn your back, they're the worst person I've ever met, right? Favor can be deceitful. Physical beauty and physical ability will fade in time. You may not be able to always do what you desire to do in faithful service because physical abilities have diminished. But that's not what makes her great. That's not the source of these characteristics. Why does she pursue this life? Because she lives in the fear of the Lord. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. The wise woman recognizes that her actions are not designed to bring herself praise or glory, though it rightly will, and we should, as fathers, as husbands, as children, bring praise and gratitude and thankfulness to our mothers. But that's not why she does it. Her actions are designed to bring God glory. That is what she wants to be, the pillar of her home. So when her children and her husband and those around her, friends, family, look at what she does and what she is able to accomplish, they see God more fully because of her. She does not pursue moral goodness and beauty of character so that others may have a high view of her, though they will. She does so to fully reflect the glory and nature of her God. She does not fill her speech with spiritual wisdom so that others will marvel at her intellect or her skill as a teacher, though she will be great in both of those areas. She does so to fully display the wisdom and glory of her God. She does not serve others for merely recognition, gratitude, and influence, though she is deserving of those things. She does so to fully emulate her Savior who came as a humble servant. That is the central aspect of what makes a mother great. When her entire life is wrapped around fear of God, I love Him. And so I'm going to pursue every aspect of my life to glorify Him and to make Him known. A wise woman's actions are oriented fully around serving her God and making Him the display of her life. In turn, He is the source of her great success. Why is she able to accomplish all of these things? Because God is working through her. It is His strength and honor that are adorning her, that allow her to withstand the trials of the day and provide her the salvation that gives her hope for eternity. It is His wisdom that pours forth from her life through the instruction of His word, the wisdom that is evident on her speech and the kindness towards everyone around her is because she has brought her tongue under the yielded submission to the Spirit. And it is his enablement that gives her the ability and patience to serve those around her in faithfulness. A mother is great because the chief aim of her life is to love God and develop a love for God in those around her. The greatest mothers are those who pursue the Lord and live according to his wisdom. That's what makes moms great. When they value God, they pursue him, and they share him with their young person. Lastly, and very briefly, I want to give us, what are a few characteristics or byproducts? What are some byproducts of developing these characteristics as a mother? What happens in my home when I attach these things and I value these things like the fear of God? Well, first, she receives the praise of those around her. As I mentioned a minute ago, the wise woman does not pursue the characteristics we mentioned in order to heap praise to herself, but that doesn't mean she's not deserving of it. We must recognize as children, as husbands, that we must praise her. Let's jump back up to verse number 28, the verses that we skipped over. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. The first thing that we see is that she will receive the praise of her children there in verse 28. Her children recognize the great wisdom, teaching, and service of their mother and respond to her in praise. They freely express their gratitude to her in response of all she does. The idea here of her children arise up give the idea of them growing older with time. They have flourished under her care. They have risen to being adults, and now they come back saying, "Wow, look at all you have done for me. Thank you. I'm looking back on how I've gotten to where I am today, and it is because of your faithful investment." Children, rise up, stand up, and speak respectfully to your mom. Tell her why you esteem her, value her, and why, most importantly, you admire her as a woman of God. Those are the attributes she's developing as a child. Express with gratitude what she has done for you. Today is a great day to do that, right? Mother's Day. You can write a card. You can give her flowers. But more importantly than just doing it today, make it a habitual pattern of your life that you would constantly be in a spirit of gratitude, not just towards moms, but everyone around you. Not only will she receive the praise of her children, she will also receive the praise of her husband in verse number 28. Husbands, let me speak to us for a minute. We must take leadership in our home in promoting this idea and spirit of gratitude, thankfulness, and praise within our home. How did the children that were praising her at the beginning of verse 8 develop this habit? Likely because of the repeated demonstration from their father. They saw him and his relationship with their mother and how he spoke to her, and naturally it developed in them the same habits. A husband cultivates his wife by setting a high tone of praise in their home. There's no put downs. There's no fault finding. There's no insults. Not even neutral silence, but rather bright, positive, life-giving praise. Note verse number 29. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. The wise woman is not the average woman. She excels. Part of the husband's praise should promote this excellence. Our children should hear their mother's excellence from us as fathers in the home. How does your wife excel? Tell her. Tell her in front of the children. Tell her at dinner. Tell her when she does something great. Buoy her spirits upward because you value her and you want your children to know you value her. You teach your young people, one as a son, how to value and praise his wife. But you also teach your daughters how she should be treated and valued in her own relationships. But that's not where the praise ends. It's not just within her household. I'm going to ask you to jump down again. Verse 31. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. All of her community praise her because of her actions. They see the life that she lives. Oftentimes, no doubt, they've been on the receiving end of some of her wisdom, of some of her kindness. They've seen her service towards those around her. Perhaps they've been on the receiving end of those moments of kindness and service that she has had towards them. They've seen her godly character, and now they too bring her praise because of it. Not only does she experience praise, but she also leaves a legacy for her children to follow. While perhaps not inherently expressed in this passage, we can understand how this is true. Like the mother of this passage, your life expresses to your children who they should pursue or who they should become. For your sons, you are teaching them the type of women they should value. Not vain, self-obsessed women who prioritize themselves and their own physical beauty over everything. You are teaching them to value biblical wisdom and biblical beauty above all else, because that's what you demonstrated to him. For your daughters, you are teaching them what brings them the most fulfillment. You are providing them the solution for where to find value in this world. Your daughter and your sons, for that matter, are not great because of how pretty or handsome they are, how great he or she is at school, or even cooking, or sports, or whatever you want to sit in that blank. None of those things bring lasting value. What makes her great is what makes him great. It's the same thing that makes all of us great when we aim to reflect our Savior instead of ourselves. That's greatness. That's what we should pursue. And then most importantly, she receives the praise of her God. When we live life in alignment with God, we experience the deep riches of his glory and his blessing. And that is the greatest byproduct of living in accordance with the fear of God. We have the ability to hear the words ring out, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done." That's what we all pursue, right? We all want to be told that we're doing a good job. We want our actions to matter and be valued by those around us. Ultimately, God is the greatest source of that. We were created by him and for him to reflect glory back to him. And when we live life in service to him, pursuing what he values and what he calls us to do, we are good and faithful servants. Mothers, let's go back to the first question. What makes you great? What makes you great is when you put God first, no matter what. Even if you aren't everything that this passage describes, right? And this virtuous Proverbs 31 woman, like I mentioned at the beginning, she does it all, right? Even if you're like, I can't do half of those things. You know what you can do well? You can live in the fear of God. You can pursue him and teach your children to pursue him. And that's what makes you great. All those other things fade anyway. Solomon, who perhaps wrote this chapter, wrote another book, Ecclesiastes, says this, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. Everything on this earth is worthless in eternity. You can't take your money with you. You can't take that awesome truck, that beautiful ranch-style home with 3 acres and chickens and pigs and 3 cows. Now, that's oddly specific, but it's great, right? You can't take those with you. It's empty. It's vanity. But how does that same passage end? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You as a mom can be a faithful servant of God. You can leave a legacy that points to Christ. You can model to your children that nothing matters more than a life following God, and that's what makes you great. If you're sitting here like, I haven't done that well, it's okay. It's a new day every single day. You can make that decision moving forward to pursue that, to value that, and leave a godly legacy of greatness. As we take some time for reflection. Perhaps as a mother, you want to gather your children together and pray. Children, maybe it's a great opportunity to thank God for the mother that you do have and the great blessings. Fathers, perhaps it's a great time to show your care and your love for her by leading spiritually within the home. And if there's an area that you're like, oh, I'm struggling in that, today is the day. Now is the time. Make those changes. I haven't done well praising her. Okay. Apologize. Seek forgiveness and make the change today. Be a leader within the home. Let your wife know she is doing well. Build her up in the faith. We'll take some time as the music plays. Take some time to reflect on this message today before we close our service this morning.